You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, Marquis Laughlin here. Welcome to another edition of Bible Prophecy Daily, a podcast where we dig into Bible prophecy for real. We have some great teachers we have a great passion for sharing what we're discovering as we dive into the whole idea of God's sovereignty, how He controls everything. I'm doing a series called the Director's Commentary Series, and this is on the book of Revelation. My background, I've been performing scripture for 35 years now, and just live, I've been performing it. I started by memorizing the book of Revelation and presenting that at churches, and then I went on to John's Gospel and Daniel and Acts and Genesis and Exodus and Ecclesiastes. Different books, the Bible Live. I do a pieces of the scriptures for Christmas, and I just enjoy God's word, and I have had the blessing of being able to share that, the love of God's word with others and inspiring them to write it on their hearts. I hope I can inspire you to be able to dig in. The one thing I've discovered overwhelmingly about scripture is it's bottomless. There's no such thing as I got it. I know everything that means, and now I can move on. You never reach that with scripture. There's always something that God wants to teach us through His word. There's a timelessness to learning and discovering God's grace, His power, His love, being able to see the Lord Jesus on every page of the Bible, being able to see how amazing it is for us to be holding the scriptures in our hands and be able to marvel at God's sovereignty of having planned everything. I love Ecclesiastes. He says that whatever exists has already been named. In other words, God has written the whole script. He's planned the whole thing. It's pretty cool. And we get to dig in and discover how He's planned it all and watch His sovereignty. That is so critical in this day and age. There's so much going on right now that I could cover prophetically. I'm amazed at the point in time that we are alive and being able to look up and look around, and we have this literally, it's like GPS. We have a working compass, and we have the luxury of being able to look to that and know that God is in control in the midst of just utter chaos. So what a privilege we have that others who don't know the Lord don't have. So we need to pray for the lost, pray that they will discover God's sovereignty, and they will be digging in right alongside your studies of Revelation. And remember, we're digging in to know so that we can have an answer to those who wonder why we have peace in the midst of the storm that is upon us and that is coming and increasing. We need to be able to explain to them why we are so sure about what's going on and certain that God is in control. So with that said, let's dig into Revelation chapter 18, one of the more challenging chapters in all the Bible to try to expose or to try to understand what is happening. Now, we have just seen the seven bowls of God's wrath poured out in chapter 16. We have just got a picture of Babylon the Great in all of her glory and the war between the woman and the beast and the ten horns. They're going to hate her and they're going to destroy her. We got that backdrop. It's kind of another camera angle on what's going on just as God's about to pour out those bold judgments. And now we're going to see the judgment of her in chapter 18. She is going to be judged. And this is really there is so much amazing information about her, about this entity, Babylon the Great, in chapter 18. And a lot of people don't go there to to try to figure out who she is and how she and how this is going to look to the average person in the world when she is at her peak. And I think that's sad because you're really getting a description of here's how she was viewed by so many other different groups, and you're getting a lot of camera angles that are newsworthy. They're the way that the guy in the street would see it, or a business person at that time would see it, or a sailor would see it. You know what I'm saying? You really get these camera angles, and it just gives you a vividness that I think is worth understanding, because the fall of Babylon the Great is a literal event that's described that happens at a particular time. It hasn't happened yet, but when it happens, people are going to say certain lines that they're going to be quoted here as saying, and so you can really understand a lot about how she's perceived at the time when she goes down, which helps you if you start to look around to see who might be a candidate for Mystery Babylon the Great. You start to have a filter to be able to filter that through. So let me read it, and I'll try to stop at some places that I find there's some interesting things to note, and hopefully I'll share some insights you hadn't thought about. Okay, this is Revelation chapter 18. It says, after this, after he sees the vision of a woman riding the beast, the ten horns, and the angel tries to explain who she is to him, he says, after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. Now, let's stop right there. I know last time we talked about how this woman was really represented abominations, and the whole idea of things that are unclean, that she has polluted the world with the wine of her adultery. She has polluted the world with pharmakia, pharmacy, pharmaceuticals. It's just amazing the description here of this angel. He's going right at that. He's saying this is demonic, it's a pollution, and every unclean and detestable beast, basically, she's the source of all that's unclean. Pretty amazing. And then in verse 3, it goes on to say, for all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. There's another statement. The merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. So this is a place that is consuming some goods. This is a Beverly Hills-ish place. Wealthy, very wealthy. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from selling her stuff. Pretty amazing. That's an interesting... That definitely... will have to point to someone at some point pretty hard. I mean, it's a very, very distinct characteristic. She's going to be Beverly Hills' number one consumer, Amazon's number one customer. You know what I'm saying? People, that's what you have here. And then it goes on to say, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Now see, this is a link back to Zechariah chapter 5, where we looked at verse 5 in chapter 5, the woman that was in the basket, the leaden basket, and Zechariah asks, what is this? And she says, it's iniquity, and we're making a place for her over in Babylon, the land of Shinar, and we're going to put her there until her iniquity is full grown. Well, this is literally saying her sin is full grown. This is that woman whose sin is full grown, full in full bloom. This is sin in full bloom, which is really heavy. It's just sobering, because to think that you and I are living in a time where sin is going to be in full bloom, just much like the flood. Noah's day, that was the particular, the days of Noah were in particular days where sin was in its full bloom. The pollution of the world was at its height. And that's what we're about to, that's an end time sign. And this woman is a picture of that, really, really heavy. So it says, pay her back as she sees, as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed, as she glorified herself and lived in luxury. So give her a like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, I sit as queen. I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine. She will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. Wow, what a harsh judgment. In one day, her plagues will overtake her. So that's the nature of her judgment is stunning, shocking, sudden, total, complete. Now, she gets this in her heart that it's never going to end. She's just all that in a bag of chips, and she's never going down. I'm never mourning. I've got it going on. That's the attitude she has. Pretty heavy stuff. And she glorifies herself and lives in luxury. Ooh. That, so we're going to see, you know, it's like the James says, rich people weep and wail. He tells them to weep and wail. It's interesting. Maybe some of them are in Babylon the Great. Maybe they're part of her and are getting paid back as she paid others. She obviously paid back others, not in a good way. It's pretty amazing. And God remembers her iniquity. Heavy, heavy stuff. Okay, then we go on to chapter 18 to verse 9. This is the response of several groups who see this sudden one day, one hour judgment. Okay, and the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come. It's pretty heavy. In one hour. So all the kings of the earth, they're going to be going, ooh, that was ugly. She was taken out quickly, succinctly, just totally. It goes on in verse 11, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and slaves, that is, human souls. The fruit for which you longed for has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. Now, it's interesting. It's like the merchants are saying this, that they've lost money, and they're like, oh my goodness, we just lost our huge customers. She's never coming back. Pretty heavy. Everything we sold you, it's gone. Pretty heavy. Now, in verse 15, it goes on to say, the merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas for the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls. For in a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste. It's pretty heavy. Tells you what she was wearing. And tells you that they were making money from her. So sad. Now, all the shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all whose trade is on the sea, now we get a different camera angle, stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. So they're standing far off. They're, ooh, don't go near there. Here's what they say. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city, where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. For in a single hour, there it is again, she has been laid waste. And then they go on to say, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. That's interesting. The shipmasters, the seafaring men, realize that she has been laid waste because the saints and apostles and prophets have been killed. The blood of the saints and apostles and prophets are in her. So she's responsible for that, and they recognize her judgment has come from God because of that. That's a fascinating perspective. Now, then it says, goes on to say, in verse 21, it says, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any crafts will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth. Wow, that is guilt. That's some serious guilt. Your merchants were the great ones of the earth. Interesting, isn't it? That's who these people are. The great ones of the earth were the ones the most involved. The merchants of the earth, the billionaires of the earth. And it says, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. Literally, the word is pharmakia, which is the word we get pharmacy from, pharmaceuticals. Pretty interesting. Wow. And of course, she's shut down for good. Permanently. I mean, when you got no lamp, no light of a lamp shining in you no more, no work being done, no happy music, it's shut down. So this is a physical place. It is a city, a great city. There is a clear literalness to that. The kings of the earth stand far off, the merchants of the earth, everybody stands far off from the city and look at her and mourn, because such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Pretty heavy stuff. And of course, next time we're going to look at the response, the heavenly response to the fall of Babylon. Everything that represents the sinful world, the world and its desires, the love of the world as opposed to the love of the Father. So pretty profound. So I echo Jesus's words and the Holy Spirit saying, come out of her, my people, so you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. It reminds me of Jesus telling us that whoever loves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will find it. Great words, great advice, sobering way, perspective, the hard, narrow path as opposed to the wide path that leads to destruction. So that's my prayer for you, my friends. If you have any questions, you can throw them at me. It might take me a little long to get back to you, but I try to get back to everyone as quickly as I can. If I don't know the answer, I will try to find someone who does, but I want to help you understand what the Lord is doing and what he's about to do, so you can be encouraged and an encouragement as these times come upon us as we enter into it. So thank you. God bless you. Maranatha. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.